May be seated.
All right, let's move forward in our continuum, of which we shall continue, as far as the dissemination of such glorious enlightenment that God has conveyed to the hearts of those of whom he loved from the beginning. Let's go to Colossians this morning, chapter 1, verse 17, and a few more nuggets we want to pull out of there. Take your document out, repeat after me. Scripture distinctions. Actualization by God's decree in eternity. From manifestation in time. Pastor, we've been on that a long time. Well, we will be. It's been several years now. Amen. There's nowhere else to go. We've got to get this thing straight. And understand from the scripture's perspective of what's going on in life. Our relativism is focused on the scriptures. What's in the word of God is what is relevant. What's in the word of God is what is true. We'll move down to the third section there, section 3, and we will complete that component of section 3 this morning. Everybody repeat after me. Conjoining faith to free will. Inevitably induces futility. Amen. Elder Liverman is our designated reader. Elder and everybody else, let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to read first in the King James, and then read down to verse 20. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right, Elder, read.
Colossians chapter 1. Verse 17, beginning with the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
And he is before all things,
mm-hmm.
and by him all things consist.
Ooh. Read.
And he is the head of the body, the church,
mm-hmm.
who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead,
mm-hmm.
that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him...
You notice that's italicized. Your Bible is that's not in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can just cross that out. So, Pastor, that's bold. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. If it's not in the original, they had no business sticking it in there. Yeah, it pleased the Father, but they put that in there in order to prop up their doctrine of separating the Godhead. Actually read that and take that Father out of there.
For it pleased that in him...
That's why they put the Father in there. They want to separate. But when you go and you exegete this, look in the antecedent of previous verse, who is him?
Jesus.
So it wasn't enough for them to say it pleased Jesus. Mm-hmm. So they said it pleased the Father. Huh? You want to run into those kind of problems when you start trying to separate the Godhead. What did Jesus tell just in the kingdom gospel? What did he tell Thomas? When you see me, what? You got the Father. You only got problems there when you try to split the Godhead up. Alright, keep reading. That's not where we're going this morning.
For it pleased that in him should all fullness dwell.
Mm-hmm.
And having made peace through the blood of his cross,
mm-hmm.
by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven.
Okay, now of course, again, when we read the Greek, we'll see the difference here as we close that out, verse 20. In King James, it has in earth, in heaven, because they want to make the two what? On an equal plane.
Yeah,
equal. They want to make the two of equal plane. But that's not what Paul wrote. Now, it is in the heavens, but it's what?
On.
It's on the earth. It resides in the heavens. That's what we're talking a little about, the matrix, and I won't be back to that until we come back in the fall. Basically, the essence of it conveys something, and again, we're not talking about the movie. something within or from which something else originates. Something else develops. It takes form. It's not that you look out there and you see what's going on, and what you see is the actuality of it. What you are looking at is what is placed upon the matrix as simply the manifestation of it. So where you get that from? Elder, read verse 17 from the Greek text. Now, those who have your interlineals, open them, and if you don't, just follow along. It'll be close enough that you won't get lost.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, bring
uh-huh.
it to Lenya.
Mm-hmm.
And he is before.
Stop! You see that word pro, translated before. It's a preposition. It's in the genitive case. What is the genitive case?
That's just an ownership.
Huh?
That's an ownership.
That which is owned.
Mm-hmm.
That pro there translated before means before time of before place. Before time or before manifestation. It also means above all else.
That's right.
And then, the essence of it is the origin. So therefore, because in him, in verse 16, were created. All things were. In the heavens, and this is where the ontology actually abides. Ontology, that means being. Ontology means the study of being. We get into studying how things are, the being of things. They reside in the heavens. The actuality of all things, whether it be a person, place, or event, it resides in the heavens.
Amen.
It is actualized by God's decree in the heavens. In eternity. This is the sole residence of everything that exists. You mean nothing exists in time? No. Manifestation exists in time. What's up on that matrix? It's there for display and testimony. Has nothing whatsoever to do with it being in and of itself. Anything but testimony. It is a reflection of the mirror of what God has devised and designed and brought into existence through a saying of the creed. Now, if you don't learn this lesson, there's some things of life, listen to me this morning, there's some things of life that's going to wipe you out. Going to be a happy camp at all. In fact, you're going to be miserable. Men of God's people this morning, they're miserable because of the circumstances surrounding them. And we don't understand what's up there on that matrix. And many times, depending upon what angle you're looking in the mirror is, you know, we just got to read in that relativism thing. You know, the way it exists for me is the way I see it.
Right.
No, it's not. Otherwise, the man Jesus healed lies. He said, "What do you see? I see men as trees." Then he said, "Well, let's go back again." And he said, "Oh, now I see men as men. Men were men all the time." But the first time for him, men were trees. But all things originate out of him, that's in him. Read.
Verse 17.
Good, we got to move on.
And he is before all things, and all things in him consisted.
Consist. And I'm glad the King James. I'm glad that the Greek here cleared that up. It helps. Now, the King James has it consists, which means that you're talking about the present tense. And there is an aspect of the present tense, but actually, hear this Greek word, synestoclean. It's in the indicative mood. What is the indicative mood?
Fact.
The fact. What's in the perfect tense? What's the perfect tense?
Complete action and ongoing.
So it is, but the strongest part of it is that it was. It is because it was. You all hear me this morning. Whatever that thing is, it's been there all the time. Now we're floating on the matrix, aren't we? Huh? And, of course, here what we don't understand about the matrix here. It's like a grid. And what's on the matrix? Listen to me. Is when, how, what, and where. What did I say? When, what, how, and where. That's what's up on the matrix. It's manifestation. As we convey to you the year A.D. 9, A.D. 129, 529, 1029, 1529, 1929, get this, 2029. It's already there. Time is only sequence for what? Manifestation purposes. Come on now. It's all one big now. Everybody say the eternal now. You know what we've been taught, what messed us up is that our theologians have basically erroneously taught to us that you have eternity past, and then time comes along, dissects it, replaces it, puts it on hold.
Right.
And then when time moves out the way, then eternity comes back in. Future, they call it future eternity. Eternity hasn't gone anywhere. Time is a creation. Just like everything else up on the matrix. You got time, you got space, you got matter, those particles, you know, we were dealing with all of that. We'll be in detail in the fall when we get back. And then the scientists, they seek, and that's humanism period, seek to explain everything in its secular physical content. You know what's that? It's like spirituality doesn't exist. And so they have, and we dealt with that last week, we dealt with the breath length, and we don't have a chance to do that today, go back over it either, but we'll be back in the fall. Now, they said that time and space basically is on one hand, you got matter, the particles, on the other, and time, and matter, a mass, as they call it, tells time and space where to go. And when. And then, and they say that takes care of the... That takes care of the when and the where. And then they said that space and time tells math what to do. And they said that takes care of the what? What did we left out? How? What component is that? Purpose. Because they're looking strictly at physicality. And nothing resides in the realm of physicality. You only got what's in the mirror. You know, you stand in front of the mirror and there's a reflection there. What's the real deal? What's in the mirror or what? What's causing the mirror to reflect? See, so you got the actualized essence of existence in God's decree, and that's where the real deal is. And we're looking up on the matrix and we're going crazy because we're seeing all kind of things. Don't we see all kind of things in life? We look and man, things. Somebody say, I don't turn on the evening news because I've just. It just depresses me. So you're going to stick your head in the sand like an ostrich. And you got everything just hanging out there. And because I don't know it, it won't bother me. It doesn't affect me if I don't know it. And the essence of life is above the fray of the things that are around you. And nothing is a purpose within itself.
Amen.
That you see.
Amen. Amen.
Everything that we see is about testimony. Mm-hmm. I hope you follow me this morning. Because this is what it is conveyed in this, in these verses. And then we're back in verse 16, and we don't have time to go back to there. So all things were created, King James says, by him. And most of the translations say, by him. In the original text, it says, in, or in him. Everything is created in him. By him gives the impression of something being remote from him. There's no way and nowhere for it to exist except in him, because aside from him, there's nothing. Oh my God, y'all hear me this morning. Now we want to know this because as we get to trust him and learn of his love that he's had for us from eternity and from the beginning, we know we will have some confidence, not in the things. We won't need to, because if we have confidence in him and all things are in him, we're safe. Everybody said we're safe. Consistent. That Greek word actually means recommended or commended or approved or to show. If that thing can't show up, let's move it. If God hasn't decreed it, it can't manifest. On the other hand, if God has decreed it, it must manifest. You know, sometimes we pray, we say, oh, Lord, please, no, Lord. Amen. But as you learn this, you'll be able to say, as Jesus in the garden of Gethsemane. What did he say? Lord, what?
Lord,
not my will, but what?
Thine.
Your will. Not my will, but your will.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us can say, oh, my God, do you trust him enough to say, Lord, your will? This is what I'll be working on all summer long, the book, Don't Be Afraid of God's Will. Don't be afraid of God's will. Well, I don't know what it is. We walk by what? Not by what? By sight. There's only one agenda. Who has the agenda? God has. Now, I might not like what's on that agenda. Of course, that's my flesh working.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I got my own idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right, Brother Gleason. How things should go. And we said things that the kids said things are all messed up. No, they're not. What you're saying is that thing is bumping heads with my agenda and what I want.
Right. Right. Come on, man. Amen.
Verse 17. And he's before all things, and all things in him.
And he is before all things.
Consistent.
Him consistent.
It was there before it showed up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when Jesus in the 24th chapter of Matthew, when he was talking about the things that were to come, of course, basically that means, as we know, when we're looking at it from the knowledge of what's in our contract and the eternal view. He's saying these things must be. Why must they be? Because they already are. They just haven't showed up yet.
Amen.
But then he says to them, don't be terrified.
Amen.
And he says as encouragement to them rather than to scare them to death. Somebody said to me, Pastor, you know, when you start preaching here, sometimes, you know, you're scaring us. No. Oh, my God. Praying that this doesn't scare you. Of all the hard things that he said to them, and I'm just using that as a crude analogy there, in Matthew 24, he says, look up what?
Your redemption.
Because you're out of here. Look up on the matrix. You see things that are going on in your life. You feel like things are out of control. Nothing's out of control. How can it be out of control when it's in him? Not only is it in him, it is in order. You say, you could fool me, but no, understand. It's in order because it is designed for a purpose. So we don't look over the matrix and say, what is this? We say, what?
What is this for?
What is this for? If you're going to ask God a question, so that thing is there, it is not that God doesn't have control. Certain denomination teaches their constituents basically say, somebody died. God didn't have nothing to do with that. God can kill them. The devil kill them. The devil can be accommodator as a component to do his, you know, his thing, but the only one who can give, take life is the one that what?
Gave it.
What did Job say? The Lord what?
Give it.
And the Lord does what? Only one can take it is the one that gave it. No one else. Other than the one that gave it. Move through this. Let's go to verse 18 like quickly.
Verse 18. And he is the head of the body of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the beginning, firstborn from the dead.
Stop. You see that Greek word there? Protepson. Protepson. First place. Here, basically, again, above all. What is he saying there? Huh? He is the beginning. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn. What it reads is, indulge me a second. Let me indulge you for a second. It's os estin aki prostotokos. Firstborn. Firstborn. Now, again, we're dealing with originalities. And this is conveyed, it says, Enoch, in order that what?
In order that he may in all things.
When, what are you reading from?
18.
In the millennium? 18, verse 18. And order that may be. I'm in the middle of it.
Okay. In order that may be
mm-hmm.
in all things.
In all things, what?
He be holding the first place.
The first, the essence. Everything is derived from God's purpose. It comes from God's purpose. It's what God's usage is for.
Yes.
We think our lives are about ourselves. Not. You live, you breathe at the pleasure of God. This is why some live 70 years as you said, well, you're supposed to live 70 years in it. No, you're not. There's some that live 70 years. There's some that live 70 months. There's some that live 70 days. There's some that live 70 hours, 70 minutes. There's some that live 7 minutes. There's some that don't even get here. They either abort it or they are stillborn or whatever you want to call it, you know, miscarriage and so forth. These are all souls. All devised for God's purpose. So isn't that a shame? Well, from the human standpoint, that's what my mind looks at and says. Yes, that is. It is. It's a form, you know, but it may make you think a little girl gets shot in the face, you know, and the head or whatever. 7 years old, and the same day a man stabs his 3-year-old son to death, and a few weeks before that, you know, you get a man beat his 5 or 6-year-old son to death, and you get all kind of crazy things that's going up on the matrix. And the first thing that comes to our mind is that this doesn't make sense. And to us, it doesn't make sense. But it doesn't make sense in humanism.
Mm-hmm.
But there's methodology and purpose in eternity.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So just because it doesn't make sense to us doesn't mean it doesn't make sense.
Amen.
God has a purpose for it.
Yes,
so when you look at something, always look at purpose. And then you read in the paper sometimes somebody lived 100 and some years old. So, well, you know, they lived a good life. And said, don't you start to look at that, the testimony of that individual, and you better get out of here. asked one man that lived to be 100, and he said, well, I just did everything I wanted to do. He drank, he smoked, he... Everything they said you shouldn't do, you did. And he lived 100 years. Got nothing to do with that. No, I'm not. Listen, don't. Somebody run out of here and always go the wrong way. But I'm not saying, hey, I got my medicine, you take your medicine. If the doctor said don't eat that pork, you leave it alone. You know, and everything that's else is out there to, you know, so you can have a good day, huh? And that's part of the process. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying that's not the reason. The reason lies in the essence of what God's purpose is. You know that scripture, I think I wrote a passage on that scripture that said, no man lived to himself, no man died to himself. So somebody took that and said, no man is an island. And everybody said, that's what that means. And some poet wrote that. Some theologian picked it up. And that's not what Paul was saying. He said, you of yourselves do not have a reason for living. The purpose of your life is not in you. God didn't even save you for you. Or to please you. He saved you, what? To please himself. And only dies to himself. I was explaining yesterday to someone, basically, part of this ministry, lost a loved one. Of course, that's a hurting thing. I've been there. I'm speaking from the human viewpoint, not standpoint. You know. But you know what? Knowledge helps to lessen pain.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, yes, it does.
Definitely does.
Mm-hmm. That scripture, it says, no man dies to himself. Huh? You mean your dying is not about you? No. Nobody has a purpose for their death. That's why you don't choose the time nor the place. Oh, no, you don't. It is appointed until you to die. And so we must understand these things. Otherwise, life will wear you out. God, help us to understand. Give us comprehension.
Yes, Lord.
Give us wisdom.
Yes, Lord.
That we can see the essence of what you have conveyed to the church from the heavenly vertical vantage point and viewpoint. I don't want to stand down here on earth as they did in the Old Testament in that covenant and only know what they knew. When you go back into those areas of the Bible reading, take what you know from the earth contract. From the heavenly view. And so you'll know why a thing happened. It didn't happen because I prayed.
Amen.
No, your prayer, I don't care. Hey, prayer does not change things. Prayer aligns you with God.
That's right. Come on.
If God hadn't decreed it, you can pray. I'm not saying don't pray. You have the right for your petition, but the Holy Spirit is there, amen, to take what you thought, bring it down, and make it synchronize it with what is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
With what is.
Huh?
That's what is.
Until we come to the point that we learn, Lord, your will is done. Now tell them, Harvey, it's like one night I was here real late, just a long time ago. Phone ring, I started not picking up. I thought I was being summoned home. But I picked the phone up and he said, brother, I'm having this problem and so forth. He said, I'm so glad I got a voice. All I've been getting is voicemails and so forth and so on. He said, I need to pray. So I prayed. And after he got through, he said, brother, you mind if I pray? He said, I don't have too much confidence in that prayer. He just prayed. So I said, okay. And so, man, he called down far from help. Lord, you know. you've got to do this for me. If I got through, I said, well, God bless you, brother. I hope he, you know, he got his petition through. Amen. But he didn't like my prayer because I said, Lord, your will is done. Because guess what? What comes down the pack was the creed. Oh, I thank God for Mother Goodloe Johnson. Amen. Pastor, why should I be sitting here worried about something already done? Oh, if we could learn that lesson. All right. Oh, that clock always beat me up. Go ahead. Verse 19. Mm-hmm.
Because in him.
You see that? The Father disappeared, right?
Yep.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yet the Father is there because, huh? When you see me, what?
You've seen the Father.
You've tried the Godhead. Keep going.
Because in him was well pleased.
Well pleased.
All the fullness to
mm-hmm.
dwell.
Mm-hmm. All the fullness to dwell. All the fullness to dwell. I'm going to just have to cut here. Oh, Lord, y'all sure you only give me a couple hours to preach this? Look at those looks. Here we have a third incentive here. Katekisa. What is an infinitive?
Permanent.
So here you now name person, person thing. So you got name of something that's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
It's translated dwell. It's in what? The aorist tense. Not to dwell, to heaven dwell.
And dwell.
So we don't talk like that. Thanks. No, we don't, but the scriptures do. You have an hour's infinitive here. So it is dwelling because it has what? It has dwell. Many of us, we look up on that matrix and we see it for the first time, and that's how me and I, would that thing show up for the first time? Because, you know, hey, I'm just seeing it, so it's just happening. No, it's not. There's no difference between night, between AD 29 and 2029, or even BC. So, Pastor, you're crazy. Well, Brother Peter, the Lord revealed that to him. A day with the Lord is as what? And a thousand years what? Because he created time.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's the eternal now. Everybody say eternal now.
Eternal now.
You and Christ Jesus in the heavens
right now.
Oh, you're not able to relate to it or resonate with it because we are encapsulated in these vile bodies and in the time capsule. When somebody passes, as I was basically, you know, conveying yesterday, when someone passes, all it means is that God takes us out of what? Out of the time capsule. Present with the Lord. Present with the Lord. I know the king said, is to be. No.
Mm-hmm.
No, he was present with the Lord. In fact, again, you got the aorist tense.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he speaks of the new creation, that's now. You in Christ right now. You were in Christ before you were ever placed, encapsulated in these vile bodies.
Hallelujah.
Where were you in 1529?
In Christ.
1629.
In Christ.
1729.
In Christ.
1829.
In Christ.
1929.
In Christ.
All right. Amen. I'm glad you said in these bodies. No. You are more in Christ than you are in these bodies.
Absolutely,
man. Say, Pastor, you're crazy. No. Let's go with the scriptures.
Yes, sir.
And don't worry about what people say. Yeah, but they're crazy over there. You know, they teach all kind of weird, crazy things. So forth. No, some of us get right out of fear. We don't want to really, you know. Hey, Scripture says it, I'm going to say it. Because the Scripture said it. And you know what? I'm not going to be shy about it either. I will say it undauntedly. Because the Scripture said it. I'm speaking behind the Scripture. And that's why in all of our teachings, our writings, and so forth and so on, we got Scripture there. So now if you're going to attack me, you got to come through the Scripture. You know, don't label me and then attack me through the label. You know, crackpot, whatever.
That's right,
I got a Scripture there. That's go through the Scripture and show me where I'm wrong. That is, when you take that Scripture and exegete it, rightly divided. That's why we spend so much time in the, and I'm saying, take your time, brother, because you know me. Hey, don't assume anything. That we understand these things. All right. Oh, my God. Amen. Read.
Verse 19. Because in him was well pleased all the fullness to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to him, making peace through the blood of the cross of him, through him, whether the things on the earth or the things in the heavens.
So it is in the heavens. It is on earth. There's a difference between in and on. Follow this now. What is. You going through a trial? Whatever else is. He said, well, you said we shouldn't care. No. I'm saying, let us be equipped in knowledge. You know, I gave the example of my oldest grandson, Deshaun, this was some years ago. He was a little baby, and the lights went out. You remember when the lights went out? All the lights in the area went out. And of course, for years, all he had been hearing on the news was about the towers. And I asked him, who turned the lights out, baby? He said, Osama bin Laden. Because that's, you know, see. And that night, he slept under me. I couldn't get a good night's rest. I mean, he didn't sleep next to me. Me. The more you know, the less you fear.
That's right. Absolutely.
On the other hand, the less you know,
the
more you fear. This is about imparting knowledge to the Indian that you won't fear. Now, we've gone through some several weeks here. We've dealt with conjuring faith to free will produces nothing. Faith, let's turn to that section. On page 84. Everybody got your document. Oh my God. Everybody got it? All right, follow this, because here we're summarizing that section now. And summarizing both the fallacies of faith and free will, antithetical concepts in the essence of actuality. And that faith is construed as some unbridled force. And I hope we have dispelled that. Some unbridled force, principle, power that predetermines events. And then free will, an individual's capacity to choose thoughts. And this is what the majority of the church teaches. To choose thoughts or actions which in effect determine events that result from such. Oh, I hope you have dispelled that. Or the scriptures, amen, and your enlightenment of that dispels that. Neither one, faith nor free will, is the determining cause. Neither one of them are movers and shakers. Everything is by design. I should say God's design. Now, even though the last source is the sun in these veins, accredited to something or one undefined in the former and specifically mankind's determinative input in the latter, both, that is free will and fate, assigned events in an individual life entirely by chance. And in this way, both have abilities to dictate certain actions and affect what results from them. That is scripturally untrue. Unfortunately, these illogical arguments are prevailing as the power of inane, that is mindless, entities to dictate courses and individuals to make personal choices as though such are not sourced by the will of God. In these views, thoughts and unguided actions effectuate and determine occasions and events according to some undefined whims, as well as humanly inspired desires. These conceptualizations are antithetical in the sense that fate does not allow a person to effectuate events, yet free will does not in any way either. The play manifestations, events, exhibitions spanning from the beginning of time to the transferring of this arena to its cessation. That's the grid, that's the matrix. Testimony affectations should never be misconstrued to be controlled by the intensiveness of their entropies of what's going on. The system of all of the things that even in the cosmos you have the collisions and, amen, things that are happening. So when you get on earth, it's the same thing. It's just a little bit more organized in the sense of God allowing the shield that he has placed around the earth. If we were on Jupiter, you wouldn't, man, you'd get those asteroids, that the one that we're worried about hitting us, that happens in Jupiter all the time. Now, even though this evolved standard has dominated most human mindsets in the time capsule, it simply translates that mankind doesn't understand how things function. Everything in this regard is viewed in the culture of starting, wondering, and then stopping for a while, as the center characterizes embellishing the background of the universe's demonstrations rather than God's strategized design. Everybody say God's strategized design of eternal intentions. Everybody say eternal intentions. So everything that's going down, that's God's strategy, his design based on his eternal intentions. Now, scripture characterizations of the latter successfully imbue the highest role model for testimony to the praise of God of his grace, Ephesians 1 and 6. What are we saying here? Amen. When you look at the essence of what we just said, God's strategized design, eternal intent, when you look at that, it represents the highest role model. Use that for your role model as to what's going on. And then when you do that, it'll be through the testimony and praise and glory of his grace. Amen. That no matter what's going down, you're happy, you're thanking the Lord, you're praising God. Because you'll be like Paul. He was in prison. What is there to praise God for being incarcerated? Yet he's writing, and he's from the Philippians, and he says, well, rejoice, and then again I said rejoice. What you rejoicing about, Paul being in prison? He said, no. He said, I'm in Christ more than I'm in prison. That's what we're conveying there. Because in verse 6 of the first chapter of Ephesians, everything is about the praise of his glory. You notice, to the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory. That's what's going on. Everything should be, and that's why Paul said, hey man, they were telling Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. They're going to wipe you out there. He said, why are you guys breaking my heart? That's in Acts. He said, oh, I'm not willing to suffer for him. I'm willing to die for him. Now, of course, you're not going to get that in ministry today. That's why they don't fool around Paul's epistles that much. They go in there and then they jump out and they go out of there. No, we're not going to park our car here. Mm-mm, no way. All right? Eris, give me about 6 or 7 minutes. We're going to run a little over this morning. Eris' synergistic philosophy extolled. What is synergism? Partnering with God. Sister Liberman brought that out very well yesterday in the session. You know, you do your part, God does the part, and here you have a two, you know, that thing that we all heard coming up, you know, you make one step, God makes, got to take two, you take one step, you know, so you got to do something. We hinder God because we die, and here we are little puny creatures, and we're hindering God from his purpose and his will. That's the most unscriptural thing that you could ever say. Every synergistic philosophy extolled, regardless of its enthusiasm for self-reliance and self-aggrandizement sorts, revels in focusing credit and praise away from God's wisdom exhibited in his exclusive enablement of everything that transpires concerning life. What you are doing, you are moving the spotlight off of him and on yourself. Think about that. Suppose the asteroid did hit. We're safe. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about we would be destroyed. No, you're not. When you leave these bodies, you aren't destroyed. Where do you dwell? In the heavens. Not on the earth. Nope. Only thing happened, that's not here. You're no longer on the earth.
All right.
But you're still where you always were. Oh my God. In the heavens. In Christ. Everybody say in Christ.
In Christ.
And I wouldn't be so skittish about death. Most of us can handle it because the knowledge, you know, the more knowledge you have about something, the less, you know, nobody should have to hold any of us down on the deathbed to die. What did Paul say? He said, I'm ready. Because of what he knew. I'm ready. Are you ready this morning? I don't mean on the basis of sometimes I heard that message being preached. That if your life is not in order, you're not ready, you better get your business. I hear people saying that they were in hell. I hope they got their business straight before they left here. That you how are your business going to be straight? We're all depraved, but I'm so we don't do. Make sure we get undepraved before we leave. No. No. All right, let's finish this up. The motivation of God's love. You see where I am? And grace and fatherhood inherently exudes what? Eternal happiness and success. Comprehension of such unchallengeable truth is decidedly free from all questions incurred in human logic and reasoning. It is judicious, that is, showing spiritual wisdom, thinking, and discretion with the underlying objective of avoiding inconsistencies, to embrace the teachings of the scriptures rather than engage in bizarre dialogues that are induced in doctrines questioning whether or not it is wrong for God to allow certain actions and events to occur. Of course, most of us are afraid. We're afraid to attack God. Most of us are. We won't blame God. We say the devil did it. A God did this because I did that. In other words, you do something, God gets mad, then he retaliates. this happened because, you know, of course, back in the Old Testament, we're reading what is known in that covenant. That is what is written, because that's the way the law works. Mm-hmm. You mess up, you get whacked across the head in the law, right? Mm-hmm. But we're not under law. No, don't go back there using that for no example, because that's not the administration you're under. You're not under that policy. We're under grace. Because the law didn't work. Otherwise, if it had worked, there wouldn't have been no need for a new covenant. The new covenant replaced the old covenant because that thing didn't work. And of course, God didn't put it there because he thought it worked. He put it there to show in testimony just what the capacity of the depravity is.
Amen. Amen.
Everybody said purpose.
Purpose.
Now, I'm going to finish this up today. Such disrespectful dispositions merely serve the embellishing of attributing what is imagined or construed according to what is physically, mentally understood, as opposed to what is actually true. Wandering across through the time capsule is decidedly enhanced by the spectacle, oh my God, I'm about to get happy here, by the spectacle of vertical, eternal, heavenly view of what is the amazing purpose plotted issues. Everybody said purpose. Plotted issues.
Right.
Working for God's purpose rather than against them. This is what Paul was talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17. Now this bodes well for resting in Christ, ubiquitous, that is present everywhere at once. And of course that don't mean that I can, God is exploded and that's the way he's everywhere. No. Everything is in him. And doesn't even fill him up. That's how he's everywhere, because everything is in him. So here's ubiquitous, the huge picture of being comfortably secured as his beloved. My God, if you know this, then you're always safe. Everybody say, I'm safe. This is indeed the essence of security. Abiding unaffected by the presence of contentious frails of temporariness that mark its pending destruction. In the scheme of the universe's sphere, its entire inhabitants are wanderers in the scope of time. Even though many things seem to function in unorganized patterns, everything is purposely designed according to God's intent. Everybody say God's intent. Each juncture falls successfully in directions of finality's destination, thus things are never found a chance, but prearranged. Oh my God. This illustrates best in scripturally marketing the stability of eternity. This is why we talk about it so much. Even in viewing the most earthly bizarre type incident, for rightfully checked out in this manner of depicting the power of God, all things should be viewed in the indicium, an insignia, a symbol, an indication of their intents of expressions, even when such seem cloudy in purpose. One's comprehension of God's eternal will and pleasure and blows the opposite of anxiety, hostility, and defensiveness in the confrontations faced in manifestations. In the sense of spiritual expectations, everybody says spiritual expectations. That's where we want to go, oh my God. The reality of the pre-induced occurrences are never construed as purposes within themselves. No! That is, they're not there to form or to make somebody or something. They're not purposes within themselves. Such merely express the unwavering reality of divine purpose. In this view, God's elect's walk is laden objectively with ordeals and errors as subjectively ordained in depraved creation, in the terrain of the presently manifested environment, that which is feared by the uninformed. Listen, listen, I want you to get this. Take this out here with you. That which is feared by the uninformed is what? Is revered by the enlightened. Repeat after me. What is feared by the uninformed?
What is feared by the uninformed?
Is revealed by the enlightened. Intentions of manifestations in time were purpose of testimony where? In eternity. Fire, the exclusive, reasonable authentication of all functionality in existence exudes from the eternal will, plan, and purpose of God. Amazingly, mankind from the beginning has always perpetrated his imagination of the operation of forces and occurrences of existence as residing in various imaginary spheres, like upon that matrix. Humanity's prioritized emphasis on manifestation, this is where our problem is the unknown source of breach with actuality. Again, our focus, our prioritized interest on what is manifested up there on that matrix. What is before us? That is the underlying source of our break with actuality. Characteristics of secularity's stolen translate where? Away from spiritual awakening. That is comprehension that, and everybody read together, this is from the scriptures, everybody together.
Of all things created, those in the heavens and those upon the earth, those visible and invisible, for the thrones, the lordships, the principalities, for the authorities, all things through him and for him have been created, and in himself is before all things, all things, and all things in him having consisted.
What? First. Everybody said first. All the fullness resides through him, whether the things upon the earth, whether in the heavens. Here, that is from Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 through 20, when it is properly exegeted. Now, we end with this. Humankind indulgence in all imaginations and curiosities does not negate the fact that what? Conjoining faith to free will does what? Inevitably induces futility. God bless you.